What's going on, everybody? This is Coach Steve, and you are listening to the Cornerstone Athletics Podcast. We are on a mission to bring a better standard and a better class of coaching and leadership in the sports world. I'm glad you're tuning in with me. I want to apologize briefly because I know it's not Wednesday, it's Thursday. And quite honestly, man, I don't know what the heck was going on. I think I was just running around, if I hadn't said this before, I am a realtor by day, coach by night. So things have been picking up quite a bit for me in the market. So I've been bouncing around a lot more and, you know, just dropped the ball. So I apologize. Heck, it might be a sign that I just need to start shooting these and just rocking and rolling and sending them as I get prompted and motivated to communicate. But either way, last time we spoke, we were discussing how to build champions. And on Sunday, we had discussed and talked about the different things that we need to do as coaches to be able to, you know, kind of create that energy and developing champions and our athletes towards being champions. And now we're going to take a shift and look at that from the parent perspective, the household perspective. Like, what's our stake in this thing? You know, how do we help the initiative of developing our athletes to have the most success possible? And, you know, I stated part one that, you know, there are a lot of athletes that play the game that never technically become champions, meaning they don't win an actual title of some kind, little league, high school, state, city championship, national championship. But that still doesn't mean we don't try to develop them into champions and form the habits of champions, right? Because those folks that do become champions, they don't do it by not having championship work habits and mentality, right? So we're going to talk about how we as parents bring that forth into our athlete, who then takes it to their team, whatever team that is, whatever level that is. So I'm going to jump right in. You know, first thing that we got to do is we have to have principles. We have to have values that are championship like. Okay. Like I said before, we as the parents are the first leaders that our kids will encounter. We are their first influence that they will encounter. We should be the first, the strongest influence that they encounter, meaning what we put forth, what we teach them, what we talk to them about, how we interact with them should be the strongest force that they encounter in terms of influence. We shouldn't be lax. We shouldn't be hands off and just kind of let, you know, culture, the world culture, the school culture, their friends influence them and shape them. I just don't believe in that. You know, I believe that, you know, one, it is our responsibility to instill our values and our principles into our children. And by saying still, I mean like be growing them towards that, right? Whatever we are, you know, in my house, we talk about, you know, strength of will and work ethic and these things. We don't talk about it, though, as if we were just born that way. You know, we're very transparent about our girls understanding what we're grooming them towards and for. And so having those principles, having those values that shape your child is the first step. This is just, you know, on my heart. One thing that I want to throw out there to some folks, because you see it a lot, especially in the maybe the tween years, you know, older elementary into tween years, this idea of, you know, the value of being nice and, you know, nice kids. It reminds, you know, teaching your kid to be nice is great. Teaching your kid to be mannerable is outstanding. I am going to just put up for your consideration that having your kid be nice and mannerable in the world of competition might not bode well for their success and their ambitions. Competition is not nice, despite how much talk goes into sportsmanship and, you know, being well behaved and all of that stuff. The inherent nature of competition is another person trying to beat their opponent. So, you know, if we're thinking that nice is something that is going to be productive in the world of sports, if you've never heard this before, you're wrong. It reminds me of when I was in college and, you know, I shared briefly about my time at Mizzou where I switched positions several times. And, you know, at that particular time, I was young and our program wasn't doing too well. And, you know, I was a good kid. I was a hardworking kid. And because of my, you know, naive thinking, my narrow thinking, I was thinking I would get an opportunity to see the field because I was a good kid. And at the end of the day, while that is valuable and honorable, and it is meaningful to some degree, good kids, nice kids, doesn't always equate to winning football games. And I had to shift my thinking and realizing, yes, I want to be a good kid. Yes, I want to be a hard worker, but I also have to make sure that translates onto the field, because the coach's job is to put the best players on the field, on the court, that are going to give the team the chance to win, right? So, you know, for what that's worth, just keep that in mind. I see a lot of parents these days teaching their kids to be nice, or again, let me back up. We're talking about the realm of sport. We're talking about developing champions. And what do our children get from the household that helps that effort? Okay. If we're not preparing our kid for what they're going to experience in their sport, we're doing them a disservice. We're not helping them become championship-like. You know, and I see a lot of parents want things to be nice and they want it to be friendly and they want it to be fun all the time. And the truth is, you know, the higher you climb, the less those things play a factor in the game. I'm not saying they don't exist, but the bigger the stage, the more challenging the task, the more difficult the competition, it might not always be fun. It'll feel stressful. It'll feel exhausting. It'll feel, you know, all of those unnice things that we, you know, don't, we wish would go away. And that's what we got to prepare our kids for. So, you know, part one is, what values are they getting from you in the house? What principles are they getting from you in the house? You know me, if you've listened to the podcast for any amount of time, I'm very big on the mental aspect. So I am very particular about the language that I communicate to my children, because I never want there to be a reference of, just call it what it is, weakness when it comes to adversity, weakness when it comes to something being hard. Now, we keep it in proper perspective so I can help them move through those things more quickly, but, you know, we do our best to speak from a place of life-giving language to help our kids be successful, to help our kids become champions. You know, that's how we operate in that space. The next part, and kind of a tie into the what is your kid getting from your household, is more of a broad stroke, but very prevalent in today's society, is, you know, you want to help your kid be a champion. Stop trying to save them from every single piece of adversity that they go through. It is one of the most detrimental things that you can do for your athlete. is every time something gets hard, every time something gets uncomfortable, every time you see them wince or they blink too many times or they or something or they fall down, whatever it is, stop swooping in to save your kid. Here's why. Last time I checked, unless we're professional athletes, we all have a certain amount of eligibility. So as much as you want to see your kid do well and as much as you don't want your kid to experience, you know, pain, quote unquote, you can't put the jersey on for them. When they go out there and play their game, you cannot save them. And if you continue to overprotect, to over intervene, I don't even know if that's a word, but it's going to be today. You will never see your kid become what they are capable of becoming. Because at any given moment, you see them uncomfortable or you personally get uncomfortable. You're going to throw a barrier up, a bigger barrier than that adversity is actually causing. You're going to throw up the never ending barrier of loving your kid to death. It's a conversation I had with somebody. You know, we live in a world, and it's not that this isn't something unusual. We all are guilty of it at one time and another or another as parents. But the idea of loving your kid to death, meaning you love your kid so much, you're going to kill them. Because they never get a chance to grow up. They never get a chance to go through anything. They never get a chance to face obstacles on their own and see what they're capable of. And that's tough. It's hard to produce a productive human. It's hard to produce a champion when they never get to go through adversity on their own. They can't become champions. You know why? I say 99% of the time, if you find yourself in a championship situation, your opponent is going to be equally as gifted, equally as motivated, and probably equally as relentless. And if we have never had that opportunity to experience that, what happens when somebody doesn't quit? What happens when someone's not afraid of my mean face? What happens when I hit the ball as hard as I could and they just dug it and sent it right back? Well, we're going to break first is what's going to happen if we've never been allowed to experience adversity. And that I know is hard, and I'm not going to pull no punches with you. I try to create those situations for my girls, but when I'm watching my girls kind of live it out, I'm not saying I'm not present. I'm not saying I'm not there to offer them some type of counsel when the smoke clears. But I'm not just actively throwing myself in the way of the proverbial bullets. I'm letting them experience it, and then we debrief. I let them experience it, and then we debrief. And then I watch them grow. And then I watch them overcome that obstacle that they struggled with before. And then we go right back into the struggle. That's what this is. Because guess what? If competition wasn't hard, if it was not a challenge, what would be the point of watching it? None of us would want to see it. Right? We love seeing those back and forth gladiator type, you know, matches, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, soccer, volleyball, whatever it is. That's what we enjoy. And those special moments that we enjoy in sport, a lot of times are centered around some kind of adversity. Newsflash, if that wasn't the case, why do you think millions, maybe billions of dollars are spent on sports narratives? ESPN, it's 50 different ESPN channels. And that's just ESPN. Fox got sports sneak. They're all driving these narratives and this drama because we love it. So why do we rush to prevent our kid from experiencing it so they can grow? So that's point two. Let your kid face some adversity. Stop loving your kid to death. They got to grow. Release that iron grip you got. Just open that hand up a little bit. Let them experience it. They're naturally probably going to come back. If you're doing your job as a good parent, they will come back. And then you can let them go again. And then they'll come back. I know it's scary. I'm terrified. My girls might mess around and want to go to, you know, college in Hawaii or something. I'm terrified. But the reality is, part of our preparation that we believe in our house, and I've said this before, we have to protect our kids from certain things. But we also, under that umbrella of protection, we have to prepare them in order for them to be protected. As much as I would love to, my daughters are probably not always going to live with me. There's going to come a time where they're making their own decisions. And at that moment, in those moments, that's when we really kick ourselves if we don't let our kids experience some adversity and some trials. So that's point number two. So we're going to do a quick recap because I'm going to hit point three and then I'm going to get out of here. So point number one is having goals or having values and principles that, you know, your kid is living under and living by in your house that you're raising them under. Point number two is letting your kid go through some adversity. Don't love your kid to death. Let them experience some pain. Let them experience some trial. Because again, let's say it like this. If we're doing our job as good parents, we've hopefully stopped them from experiencing that pain and adversity in real life. Do you understand what I'm saying? So like, they're not getting it in the everyday life. They're not homeless. They're not starving. They're not, you know, in those kind of environments where they would experience adversity anyway. So the only place they could get it is likely through sport. Let them go through it. In the big picture, they're going to be fine. And then this is number three. And I had an outstanding conversation yesterday at my youngest daughter's practice with another parent. And number three is simple. They can never not work. They can never stop working. Okay. They need to be in a constant rhythm of honing their craft. They need to be in a constant rhythm of establishing and developing the strongest work ethic they can possibly have, especially in today's age, because you got so much going on. You got kids, you know, sending in fake highlight tapes. They are fudging stats. They're doing everything they can to get an opportunity. And guess what happens when they're lying and cheating and doing everything they can to get that opportunity? They get thrown into the fire and they can't cut it. Because this image and facade that they've produced, that their parents have helped them produce sometimes or allowed them to produce, cannot withstand the day in, day out stress and pressure and grind of being a championship level athlete. It's impossible. And I don't care what anybody says. If you don't hear anything else I'm saying, actually, you need to hear all of it because it's important. But that's how important work ethic is, because no matter what level, it's going to come back to work ethic. Your athlete will not accomplish what they are capable of. Let me be very clear, what they're capable of with a piss poor work ethic. And I know we've all seen freakish athletes, natural talent, all of that, and they're playing that game. I'm just going, you know, ride this natural talent. I don't got to do no work because I'm faster than everybody already. And guess what? I've seen guys like that go to the NFL and be in the league for 2 years because they can't sustain the day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out grind that is the NFL or the NBA or college. They can't. I've seen it happen in the collegiate level. You get this big 4-star, 5-star, 6-star athlete that's supposed to be the world's best thing in sports. And the coach barks at them a little bit and they quit and they transferring. That's real. And if you've paid attention in sports, you know it's real. And it is more prevalent than ever now than in my opinion, than it's ever been. And that might just be because of the access we have. I don't know. But you know what protects your athlete from that situation? Work ethic. You know what has your athlete prepared when they get to indirectly benefit from that 5-star or that first round draft pick not handling their business? Work ethic. Character, which takes work. They can never not be working. And that doesn't mean we're running kids into the ground and your athlete never rests. Because guess what? For a lot of these high performing athletes, rest is the most challenging work that they have to do. So taking care of themselves is work. Doing the other work, film study, treatment, conditioning, weight training, the other stuff, that's work. The skill stuff for their sport, the walkthroughs, all of that stuff is work. And if your kid has no work ethic, don't expect them to be a champion. Stop trying to manipulate the nature of sport to suit your kid's piss poor work ethic. It's a detriment to the game. Teach your kids how to work. Teach your kids that working is an inevitable part of this process. It never goes away. And here's what I live and die by, and I'm going to let y'all go. If your athlete is willing to do the work, if they're always willing to do the work, that they'll make it at every level. They'll make it at any level they're supposed to go. If they're willing to do the work when they're young, they'll make it. If they're willing to do the work in high school, they'll make it. If they're blessed to get to college and they're willing to do the work, guess what? They will make it. They will make it. And then because again, that's the difference. What's the difference when everybody is good? What's the difference when everybody's won state titles and everybody's a champion at those higher levels? What's the difference? It's work ethic, which is a mentality. And that mentality forms the habits that develop strong work ethic. And if your kid is willing to always do the work that's required for them to be a champion, they will become one. Because championships are hard. Being a champion in habit is hard. Because you don't get to do stuff when you feel like it. You spend more time doing things when you don't feel like it than when you do feel like it. And that's critical. If you don't take anything else from this podcast, teach your kids how to work. It will save their life. Because guess what? You've heard this before. When they hang the jersey up. When they hang that jersey up, guess what they're going to have to do for the rest of their life? Work. Ding, ding, ding. So no matter how the sports thing goes, if they're willing to work, if their work ethic is strong, if their character is strong, they are going to inevitably work themselves into an opportunity. This isn't rocket science, but it is if we want to make it rocket science. It becomes rocket science when we try to manipulate the environment of sport to suit who we are. And we don't want to change. We want the game to be, we want the game to accommodate us. Accommodate my kid who never works and never puts any time in, but I want them to feel good. Huh, that's interesting. This isn't the field or arena for that. And we do our kids a disservice when we don't teach them how to work. Because if we can get them comfortable with working, they're already on a different path. So, oh, okay, I'm experiencing something new. And if I just put some effort into it, if I put some energy into it, I can get better. And then they're going to reap the benefits of achievement. And guess what happens? Success breeds motivation. I've identified I'm successful at something. Guess what I want to keep doing? Ta-da! There's your magic pill. So, I'm going to recap. One, make sure you got some sound principles and values that your kid is being immersed in. And make sure you're talking to them about when we're talking under the context of sport. When they start to engage in these environments, help them and be transparent with them about how that connects to what they're doing. That's one. Number two, let your kid face adversity. I don't care if you got to get yourself a muzzle. Maybe somebody got to handcuff you to stop you from getting in the way of your kid's development. Let them face some adversity. And number three, develop a strong work ethic. Don't ever let them stop working. If your kid, I promise you, if your kid can do nothing else but withstand adversity and can work, they'll be fine. They will be just fine. They will get out of the game what they're supposed to get if they can do those things. So this is Coach Steve with the Cornerstone Athletics Podcast talking about how to build champions, part two. I appreciate you tuning in. I look forward to our next conversation that we have, and we'll talk soon.